Matthew Castanelli, it's good to have you on here. It's exciting to have someone that's so ingrained with one of our favorite apps and has worked with it from time to time and before and after the acquisition. We're talking of workflow, of course. So it's good to have you on, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about that, but also about what you've got going on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you.
And before we go too deep into it, for some people that might not know who you might be and the things that you've done with workflow, could you kind of just give a quick synopsis of your history with them?
Sure. So I joined Workflow about, I think it was August 2016. I might have the year wrong. I don't actually remember off the top of my head, but basically about 6 months, or more like 9 months, before we got acquired. So pretty good timing there. I did not know that going in or anything like that. And I just kind of loved the app. So probably like many people, I started learning about it through Mac Stories, and so Federico definitely led the way for me, and I just kind of, like many others, was doing it for fun, playing around with URL schemes before that. And then I kind of saw workflow growing, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And it's also really complicated. And so before that, I was in marketing, and I could tell that I really liked this stuff. And also, they were in San Francisco, and I lived in Berkeley. So it was kind of like, hey, wait a second. I could just reach out to them and be like, hey, do you guys need marketing help? And so I did that, interviewed with them, and then just kind of demonstrated that I knew what I was talking about, and also that I had the ability to kind of write about this complicated tool in a way that regular people could understand, because I'm not an engineer. I'm not like a technical person. And so I learned much of like what I know about programming through workflow. And also was super lucky to get a sit with the team and learn how it works, because that's definitely part of the challenge is there's just so many actions in workflow and so many edges of ways that it can interact. It's like quite literally infinite. And so it's totally understandable for anyone who was just getting started or people who were now getting into shortcuts that you're going to be like, how does this work? And I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. And so it was kind of always my personal goal to just show people, here's how you can use this, because it's not, I mean, for many, it is a tool for nerds, but it's also like, you don't have to be some sort of genius programmer to understand how to use workflow. It very much brings it down to a whole nother level. And so I was always super interested in that.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've always had trouble with, even when like early on when I started using workflow, is to kind of explain it in layman terms of like what workflow is. And the best kind of answer that I could come up with was like, it's Lego blocks for programming and automation for iOS. Like, do you have like a better answer to that kind of question? Because I've always been curious as to like how to properly explain what workflow is and what workflow does, which will soon be Siri Shortcuts, but like how that app can be as powerful as it is, but also explain it to someone that doesn't really have that nerd inclination, you know what I mean? Like, do you have a good explanation of what you would consider workflow and Siri Shortcuts to be to someone that doesn't know exactly what it is?
Yeah, so that was definitely one of the hardest challenges. So right when I joined, we kind of rewrote the website, and I went through this whole very existential, philosophical, like, what is a workflow? Like, because it is like a program on your phone that you could use, but then honestly, like the word shortcuts is great, and it helps a lot. When like I heard that during the keynote, I was like, yeah, that's way more helpful to people than something like a workflow, because even just the term workflow is like a specific set of processes that you use in order to get something done efficiently. But that's kind of, and that does describe the app, but that's how it works, not necessarily what it does for you. And so one of the ways we kind of pitched it was, especially at the time when services were like harder to connect on iOS. It was kind of connects. Workflow lets you like connect the apps that you use on your phone and do things even faster that would otherwise take too long. It is hard to have a specific elevator pitch because one of the things is that it's can be different to every person. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of like a multi-tool toolbox that you can kind of go into and build your own. I mean, I think recipes is another for the literal like step-by-step process of how things go is a good term. Partially that was used by If This Then That, so didn't exactly want to cause even more confusion by calling things the same thing when they're not. But having that kind of like you go through step-by-step and things happen in that order, and it's the computer being able to do something that faster for you or better than you that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Yeah.
Or you just didn't want to do. That's like a huge thing, I think, with it being a mobile app as opposed to like a desktop app, is just that for people using iPhones is like no one's going to be bothered to go tap and do 1,000 things. Like that's just not like you can technically, but
nobody wants to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then I think iPad brings that to another level just because, especially with keyboard and then being able to just like manipulate the script on such a bigger screen really like takes it to another level.
So I remember when Workflow first came out, and when you first opened up Workflow, it had you make the workflow that was, you know, make a GIF out of these photos and things like that. And it was all really interesting when it came out. But at the time, I really wasn't into the iPad or iOS as I am now. And I didn't really see the potential. And this was totally my own shortcoming. And I think now, looking back, that was a huge mistake on my part. I didn't really get into Workflow until I started working really a lot more on my iPad. And I started realizing like, oh, hey, when I write this blog post, I can make a workflow that publishes that blog post and then shares it out to my Twitter accounts and things like that. And it's this idea of automation and that it wasn't built into the system, that it was just this third party utility that, you know, some guys made that was just really, really cool to me. And honestly, I just, every time I use it now, I just get so excited to find out more and more about what I can use. And with Siri Shortcuts coming around the corner, I think it's just really interesting that how it started off as this little app that could, not even little really, but like this little app that moves stuff from one app to another, or could like create like small utilities and stuff, and it has become like the cornerstone of a major iOS release. And it's just kind of cool to kind of see through that throughout the time.
I don't necessarily blame you, because it's easy now to look back and say, oh well, it's becoming Shortcuts, like this went forward in a place that should have been obvious. But at the time, I think there was just kind of friction that prevented some of it. So just having to go in and trigger the workflows makes it just that certain, just like a barrier to many people who might not otherwise be bothered. And especially, like you said, now that it's a system feature, and the fact that it'll kind of, it's not in your face, but it'll pop up and be like, hey, do this, do this. And you kind of have like the, I don't remember the term, is it progressive disclosure, where you kind of learn over time what it's like, as opposed to having to figure out yourself.
I think so.
So there isn't currently like a tutorial in the Shortcuts beta. So I'm actually super interested to see what they do, because I assume they're going to change it from what Workflow is, because introducing something like that to every Apple user is a way different story than when we were a solo app.
Yeah. And I think the way that the keynote kind of went through it, where you're on your way home, so make sure the thermostat is turned on. There's like four or five different things that could be set up in just one shortcut, which I thought was like super well done and well thought out, where turn the thermostat on, do this, do that, and oh, by the way, play the NPR radio when I get in my car. That to me seemed like a really interesting way to sort of introduce shortcuts to the massive audience that is the people that watch the keynote and at WWDC and all the things that you could do with it. And most of the things that were in that were basically baked in iOS default apps, which was super mind blowing just because it just showed that it was like baked into the system now. And
yeah,
and like seeing that, like when you were watching the keynote and things like that and seeing that happen, you know, what was kind of going through your head when you saw the way that shortcuts was introduced as the keynote in the keynote?
I mean, I thought that was very well done. Like, I thought it was perfect the way it kind of like just like slid in the fact at the end, oh, by the way, you can do custom shortcuts. And the actual, like, it is confusing because shortcuts the feature is different than shortcuts the app. Mm-hmm. And so I think shortcuts the feature, it's amazing that they kind of came in from both sides extremely well. Like, the feature itself is awesome, and those like third-party applications that can run independently and just sort of happen there and surface to you as you're using it are like one side, and then shortcuts the app is like us coming in from the other side from workflow and being like, let's do everything we can possibly imagine. And seeing how that gap gets bridged, it remains yet to be seen, because I feel like that's probably what the next pitch will be like to regular people kind of at, I mean, I don't know, but maybe when the next iPhone launches or whatever, I assume they're going to talk more about it. It will be like, I think there's still some of the middle missing where like, how does someone go from just tapping the thing on their phone to then like building shortcuts? And like you said, so then those suggested shortcuts are available within the shortcuts app. And then that's this sort of chained kind of like Siri one command response where it does six whole steps in a row. Like, I think that is another great abstraction, because then once you get into like workflow shortcuts, those are like 50 steps that really do one thing, and really actually more like the, do you guys know the run shortcut action? It was run workflow in workflow.
Yeah. That was actually one of my favorite things about it, is that you can have it run different things in other workflows, which was it kind of blew my mind when I first tried it and got it to work the way that I wanted it to. It was really cool.
That I like still can't even properly take advantage of that, because I have so many workflows that like then thinking on top of those workflows about how to use them within it's just like the vectors multiply so quickly. But I think using that feature in conjunction with suggested shortcuts is a great way to kind of, I mean, actually that would be a cool feature, is if they separated your like nerdier, deeper workflows with a section of just like utilities that you've built that are like actual shortcuts.
Yeah.
Oh God, the terminology is messing me up already. I'm sorry if anyone gets confused.
Yeah, it's totally okay.
It makes sense to us. I can say that. It makes sense to me. Like especially with like the workflow and workflow stuff, like I would use those with if statements all the time, of like, if this set of requirements matches, then run this workflow. And if that doesn't, if it doesn't match that, else run this workflow kind of thing. And that was super, super interesting. Like I started doing that with, like screenshots and stuff like that, where it would look at the size of the screenshot and then and either run one where it throws the iPad shell over the screenshot or the iPhone shell over the screenshot. And it would have different workflows built into it that would run with things like that, which was super fun to kind of, you know, I found some online and then I rebuilt them and then connected them to other things and things like that. But so you've written some things when it comes to like what the beta is now, and we've talked a little bit about how some of the middle might be missing, you know, are there some things that were, you know, surprises for you or things that you didn't think would show up in the beta, or, you know, like what are some of your thoughts on the beta as of right now that you can kind of talk about?
I mean, what's interesting is how I find it fascinating how similar it is that for many people, like, I totally understand wanting all of the Siri capable shortcuts. And I think that's one thing that I'm like even failing to do as a regular person, because I'm so deep into it. Mm-hmm. Like those, like you were saying, those like turn off my lights and do this and do this. Like, I never bothered with those types of workflows before because it was never good enough. Like, now that you can actually trigger it with Siri and use these new actions that like actually change the device settings, that stuff is like a whole new world. And so I think there's still, it's like, but that the workflow opportunity of building these scripts is still fully available in workflow. Mm-hmm. The shortcuts are, oh God, I'm already doing it again. So I think that's what's interesting. It's like, it's hard to give a percentage because like the whole Siri part will be even larger in the future. But like at the moment, like workflow is probably 90% of the same of the shortcuts beta. Mm-hmm. And even like you can, and I am talking about workflow here, you can run workflows using custom phrases from Siri. You just set up the phrase and then it'll just open workflow and run on the public beta at least. And so that part is even very similar. Like the main difference is when you have those shortcuts set up that work purely with voice, like you don't have to do any interaction, then those work in Siri right now in shortcuts. And so that is like the fancy stuff that you've probably seen me or like Federico or a few other people tweeting, where it's just a screenshot of Siri and then all your stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like right now that is somewhat of a subset of what you can do, because so this is one thing that I'd like to see change from the beta to the real release. Mm-hmm. Is being able to, if you have an ask for input, being able to speak your input back to the device, like run those steps within shortcuts. Because right now, if you have a choose from menu or choose from list or any type of input, it'll just open shortcuts and ask you. It doesn't have that physical capability to just do it all from there. And so, I mean, maybe that'll change in a future beta, and then people will probably be more and more jealous.
Yeah.
But at least in this first beta, it is very much like workflow with the new skin, and you can run some of them. But then there's like the show result action. You have those new device scripting ones that let you like set cellular data on or off,
which still blows my mind that you can do that kind of stuff.
I mean, that's what's so funny, that the world of third-party apps is like, it took me a bit to realize that, especially even just like after these actions, it's like they don't have the same limitations that most developers do. Like, it really is, if they can do something that makes sense, and I think something that is important too is that if they can do it in a secure private way that can't be abused, then they probably can. It just like matters, like with everything else, is this a priority? Does this make sense right now or maybe not? Things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited, because that seems like they barely added anything, and when they really, like, to people it's a lot, but they only added settings stuff and then run JavaScript on web page, which is also like, only is a strong word there, because people who know all about that are like, absolutely, I would love to run JavaScript. So it's also only on Safari web pages. So that's another thing. Mm-hmm. That I think I heard, I don't remember, it might have been you guys, but it's not just like pure JavaScript. Like, you have to you have to be in Safari and run the share sheet. And then those workflows that are set up to accept Safari web pages can then use that action and like do something on that web page.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. I mean, there's still other apps, like Drafts has amazing stuff for JavaScript there. And I don't want to see JavaScript in shortcuts, like, really. Like, the way it works now is great, but shortcuts is the programming language, not JavaScript.
Yeah, but Rosemary Orchard, we had her on not too long ago, and she brought up a good point that I thought was interesting, was to have the JavaScript option within shortcuts, you can use things like bookmarklets with the JavaScript and have it mm-hmm. be built into the share sheet and be able to use different kind of bookmarklets that you might be familiar with if you use a Mac and you have stuff saved to your bookmark bar that is just JavaScript code that will do certain actions when you're on web pages and take certain things, which can be powerful. But I can see the sentiment of not wanting to have JavaScript be into shortcuts, just because that's not kind of what was the main intent or
yeah,
things like that. So
I think it kind of confuses just the mission is like, I mean, first of all, there's probably like, it's not a JavaScript app. And so trying to like shoehorn that in wouldn't be the best experience. Mm-hmm. And like, that's probably available to third party to take on is like, have that be your app, use shortcuts to hook it together, and then you can use JavaScript to act on a page, but it's not like a JavaScript engine itself. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah,
again, it's like that I wouldn't, if this was a JavaScript app, I wouldn't be here right now. Like, I don't want to hate on it, but I don't want to like program with curly braces, like
right. Gets, yeah,
yeah, like I want to do stuff with my I want to build programs without having to do that. Mm-hmm. Like there's been a few times lately where I was literally like, oh, I should probably hire a web developer or like a Python developer to do this for me, and I was like, wait a second, I can, like, this isn't as elegant, but I can get very far along with a workflow or a shortcut that I just built. And I was like, I've actually wanted something like this for like 5 years and didn't even realize until like 3 days ago that I could just make my own script and then do it.
Yeah.
And like sit there on my phone and do it while I'm like watching TV and not in front of my computer. Mm. So,
yeah.
I mean, so one other thing I wanted to say before I lose my thought is just that I was kind of saying there's only like 9 new actions in shortcuts, and I have no idea if there's like going to be more. I would assume so, because that would be very weird if they just left it at this exact same state as a new app.
Yeah.
But like, I would love to see Apple apps doing more than not just suggested shortcuts. Like, so we are seeing a lot of that. And I think I can't tell from the keynote if some of those were just suggested shortcuts from other apps or if like there's going to be new actions. I think somebody mentioned that Get Weather in the keynote produced an output. So like normal actions can't, or suggested shortcuts can't do that right now. So that's short, like third party apps, the APIs that are available to them, since they work elsewhere on the system, they just kind of execute the task within the app. It's their own app. Mm-hmm. Like they said, Phil's does all the ordering and stuff and is basically just telling Siri what to say.
Yeah.
And so I hope that Apple's own apps get like real actions that produce outputs and accept inputs and do other things in there, because really all of the actions, save for those handful of new ones, were built entirely as a third party using third party scripts. Mm-hmm. And none of the like internal APIs that I assume Apple has. So I'd love to see like Pages, Keynote, Numbers, like if you could really integrate in those in like a really deep way, that's like all going to be fantastic. So
yeah.
I hope the Apple's teams are like aware of this feature, because it is like, you guys are, they're all people there too, and understanding the breadth and scope of what this app can do and what it could do in the future is like, it's insane.
Yeah.
So it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy for someone to kind of be like, they have to do that. It makes no sense if they don't do that kind of thing or what have you. But you know, as you said, they're people too. And, you know, sometimes they're unable to kind of understand the scope in which that you can do those things with. I hope that they do things like that with, especially like at least the stock apps that Apple provides, where you can have it be full featured actions and full featured inputs and things that you can do with Siri shortcuts. But the beta has still got some time to kind of be in the oven and figure out what's going on. And people can file radars and tell Apple what they kind of want. This is a good time for them to do that. And hopefully they'll kind of understand and see those kind of things happen.
I think especially people, now's not the only time to file radars too, because there's like a few things is that just that this team is new. And so they don't have the last 30 years of radars, or like, I don't know how long they've been using radar, but this is you, people have the opportunity to like, just talk about it and share their vision of what it could be. And like, maybe they'll listen. Like that's definitely a thing that I think people have the ability to sort of like just say like, hey, I want all this stuff. And Apple might be like, oh, great idea. Like there's, it's not like, I mean, I don't want to like speak to any plans or anything like that, but I think the community is what's shaped much of workflow so far. And we still have the opportunity to like say what we want. And we are like, many of these people are like the people who will take advantage of this the best. And even when there's 9 new actions, everybody's like, oh my God, the world's totally like different now. And it's like, there's so much opportunity. Like even just the suggested shortcuts are going to be, I mean, like unlimited in theory, like every app in the App Store could do it. And so like, I just worked on an article for iMore. It might be out by the time this is published, but I just listed out all of the actions for the default apps in app in shortcuts so far. And it's like, I excluded all of the third-party ones, all of the content type, like sharing text and turning it into Markdown, and just the ones that were from apps. And it was like a 4,000 word article. Like,
wow.
I mean, I basically just listed it and listed the descriptions, but it's like, there's a lot to learn. And it's like, still just at the beginning stages, especially when you can then trigger it with Siri from your HomePod or your AirPods or in the car is like, it's, I feel like nobody's prepared for it. I mean, it's like hard to, because, I mean, and we shouldn't be because they haven't, it's not out yet, but it's going to be fascinating to see how people take it. And I also just kind of want to like push it as much as I can from outside. Like that was one of the reasons after we got acquired, I decided to go out on my own. And I mean, partially Cupertino isn't where I live. And so there's a lot of complications with going. I was like, I'll join a small startup. And then, oh, now you work at the biggest company in the world. It's like, not exactly the same thing. But I do like, I just want to share with people how to use this app because I do know how to use it. And I want to like keep learning how it changes and also help people, have people teach me how they work so that I can figure out how to use it. It's like, that's one of the things that I've been doing lately is just talking to more people. And like, I've been using my Mac more because one of the things is a lot of people use their Mac. And the only way I can know how to do it also on iPad is if I learn how they do it on the computer. So that's kind of been some of my experimenting is getting deeper into what quote unquote real work people are doing and be like, oh yeah, you can totally do that on iOS now also. Like, I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter the other day, I was, Jason Snell had written an article about how he has this whole number spreadsheet that he turns into his quarterly reports for Apple and like 16 charts, I think.
Yeah.
And he, in as he was going through, he was like, here's my Apple script that I use with Automator, and here are the step-by-step things. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I can totally do this. I was like, thank you for just giving, this is like, especially because it was so literal. He was like, and then I crop this image at 2,038 pixels across, and I was like, this is just an action in workflow.
Yeah.
Like, and I think a lot of times, like, even Jason uses it a ton, but figuring out how you can do that in workflow is like, if somebody already knows on the computer, they're just going to do that. And so that was fun because I like tweeted at him and I was like, oh, I want to, let's do this. And then like Federico jumped in and like Rosemary. And then we, after like 3 hours, we had figured out this like reverse complicated nested list way of iterating through like four rows and cropping eight times each time and getting a whole set of images.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was some actions that we thought didn't work, and then it was like, oh wait, actually if you print as a PDF and then do it, it's high enough quality. And so that was like, that was an awesome win, because it was about to be like, oh, you still need your Mac. And then it's like, actually, if you have a numbers file, you can just run this and then you have 16 charts. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yes.
Yeah, that was a pretty epic thread. I saw it and I kind of peeked in, and that was pretty impressive. I was kind of doing something similar. I have some medical stuff, nothing serious going on, but I wanted to build a workflow to kind of keep track of some stuff. And I was kind of bummed to find out it doesn't really have the ability to import into numbers. So hopefully somewhere down the line. Oh, and this is on workflow. I still haven't got the invite to be on the shortcuts beta. So I don't think I will, but that's okay.
I don't think they're doing another wave of invites, or I mean, I think they might eventually, but they kind of just did, I think they did one and then they did a quick update because I think it was crashing for non-public beta users. Like, I don't exactly, or it was public beta users, but I think it was people who had previously tested workflow.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I'm not sure if it was everyone. So yeah, I hope they keep updating it. I've been like, every time I get a test flight notification from the other apps that I've been testing, I'm like, is it shortcut?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way.
It's like, no offense to those guys, but it is like,
And it's summertime too, so I'm getting a ton of test flight invites. And every time I see test flight, I get super excited. And I even turned on email notifications just for this. there's definitely things that I would like to see come, like number support and things like that, to be able to import stuff into like a really complicated spreadsheet.
There's in a simplistic way, you can generate like comma separated values and then paste that into numbers. So if you kind of iterate through text and then use like a text box and then just do like variable comma variable, or like have your information separated by commas,
mm-hmm.
and then save that to your clipboard, you can like paste it into a table within numbers. And so I've been it's obviously not nearly the same.
Yeah.
I like, even as an engineering challenge, like I have no idea how you build a workflow to insert information into a spreadsheet. Like, I guess if you have tables, like maybe it can detect the tables in there, but in terms of like engineering work, some of that stuff sounds like actually like really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if, assuming they are doing something like this, that would probably have it take time. Like, just because that is like, it sounds trivial, but especially when you work at workflow, you can understand very intimately how non-trivial many things are with development. And
yeah, oh, I can imagine.
Even working with such an amazing team, like, first of all, I'm going to be spoiled for the rest of my life because I could just ask a question and they would just know. And that's probably true of many people, but these guys are top developers. Like, I'm glad they're at Apple now because they had just so much domain knowledge. Like, did you guys see, Ari's probably going to hate this, but there's a video from CNBC of the founder of Workflow when he was 16.
Yes.
Talking about jailbreaking. And he's like, first of all, there's a line where he's like, Apple can't tell me what to do on my devices. And I was like, ah, this kid works there now. Yes. But that's, it's fantastic. Just like, it's so good. And like, you can tell that he knows like more than everyone involved in the interview, like, because he's just so smart. And then it's fast. I mean, first of all, that was only like 8 years ago too, which is, for anyone who's older, is like,
yeah.
Because as like, but I mean, it's also, that's so exciting because they're all still young and talented and I'm assuming they're going to do even more great things. So I'm pumped that they're there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I am curious, because you tease this every once in a while on Twitter. How many workflows are you currently at? I just cleaned up mine and I'm at 55.
Okay, hold on. Let me get my shortcut to count how many shortcuts.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
I mean, there's a get shortcuts action.
Yeah, and then do count
items. Yeah. I'm at 786.
Oh my god.
Also, so like that's the word. I like almost don't like sharing that because no one should have this many. Like I worked there and also I built the gallery, like, or besides what was in there before, like I like curated most of that. And so even just in that process, I like added so many that I also like I obviously built them to be useful. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it could be useful, but then I just, part of the problem with workflow is there's only so many ways you can run them. And like being able to run it with Siri means that I wouldn't have to like navigate in and find it. But I definitely, I think I spent like 4 hours one day reorganizing the workflows and like color coding them by like group and like different categories and like give it, I mean, I didn't really change the iconography. I think that's always, I usually, that's kind of independent of the colors. It's more just like what I think would trigger my memory with it. But then I just basically made like 15 large groups of like, I have 20 actions that I've, or 20 shortcuts that I've set up for day one alone. And like part of the problem too, like you said, is I never really went through and made like one to rule them all. Like one that's like, here's 10 things you do in day one. Cause I would either have to have those 10 and then just make an 11th that then shows me how to run those 10, which is like not at a certain point adding to the problem while solving the problem.
Yeah.
But also like trying to put them all physically into one workflow then is like impossible for me to share it, first of all, because people are like, what the like, here's 350 actions all nested together under a menu. It's like too much. And so I like always battled with the balance of creating something that's shareable for other people and then like one utility that does 15 things for me in the same use case.
Right. Yeah.
And also like if you just gave me an idea, I could like probably come up with 10 shortcuts for it, like different ways to either grab data from the web or like input it as you're going or like do different things. And so I would love management features. The like one thing too that used to happen was workflow sync would overwrite what I was doing while I was doing it, and I was like, oh my god, like you guys, like we gotta figure this out, because it's like, I mean, I would just put it on airplane mode after a while.
I remember when the app didn't even have syncing, that when you got a new device you had to rebuild your workflows back in, like, I think that was like really early.
Yeah, I don't think I even used it then. Like you have to have an iPad for that to really be useful. I'm interested to see how they'll do syncing now, because there isn't any, but I assume it'll be iCloud or something. But also the sharing features not being in there is kind of unfortunate, but I have a feeling that's temporary, because so far they've like kept the app the way it was. They are not like destroying it as much as I'm sure they can. Like, I don't know about the new actions or like Instapaper and Pocket not, or like if this and that not being in there. I'm not sure why. I mean, some stuff, I kind of assume they're using their APIs. And so if 40 million people use this, Apple's like paying those apps to use those actions. Whereas when like the way Dropbox works on iOS is Dropbox does the acting. And so like, I think having native actions for that stuff is probably the ideal goal for them, because they don't want to pay these developers to use their actions on their own platform. Like that doesn't make sense. And so I don't know, it'd be awesome if they were working with Dropbox to restore those actions, but I honestly don't know. So we'll kind of have to see there. But in the meantime, like, you guys are still on workflow, all of that stuff still works. Yeah. So if that is mission critical, you can use it there and even hook those into Siri a little bit. So you can pretend you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. That I have set up a few of the workflows to actually work through the Siri shortcuts that's in the settings menu under Siri and stuff. I've set up a few of those workflows to work through there, so I can just like try triggering them through Siri and stuff. And it works really well. And I'm really excited to kind of just get my hands on the full app. I just, I see the potential, and I'm just ready to jump on it and use it. I'm just, you know, unfortunately don't have it yet.
Yeah.
I think if you are doing that, you could, even though I'm joking about pretending, like you could build workflows that are ready for that. Mm-hmm. Like you have, like you said, if you want to have the I'm home or like welcome home thing, you can have, or I guess one that I see a lot of people trying to recreate is just like Alexa's briefing, and you can list out RSS feeds and repeat through those and grab the titles and use the speak text action right now. And it will do a lot of that. And then you're, and then once you actually get it, it just imports and it, you might add a few actions and then you're ready to go, as opposed to like, I hope people aren't just like, I mean, you guys obviously use workflow, but I hope people aren't like waiting for shortcuts to learn how to build shortcuts, mm-hmm. because you can do that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a draft note right now of all like the shortcuts and stuff that I want to build when I actually get my hands on it. And I you're right, I probably should just start building them out in workflow since they'll move over.
Do you have any ideas?
So the briefing one is one that I've seen that I wanted to try. I also want to do some I know it kind of sort of works with HomeKit, like if you have the HomeKit scene set up right now.
Yeah, that's one of the suggested shortcuts.
Yeah.
So if you run a scene, it will get donated to the system, which is, people are like, it's interesting that everybody hates that term.
Yeah.
And it's very funny. It's like, I mean, maybe it's the previous work marketer on this app in me, but I think it's smart because it sounds friendly. Like, I think in a, like, privacy is a huge concern with voice assistants like this. And the fact that it's like the app is donating to the system is like making it clear that the application is what's doing anything. And that's what's telling Siri. Like, Siri isn't listening. Like, she's not extracting information from apps. Like, I think if they had used that language, it'd be like, holy crap, this computer's looking into all my apps. And instead, it's like, the apps are all like walking by and being like, hey, here's some actions, like, here you go, and then moving on. And it's, to me, that it like feeds into that privacy mindset that it's, but it's still also, I don't blame anyone for rolling their eyes at it.
I don't mind the term as much as other people. I think it's kind of weird. I think, I wonder if people's issue with it is Apple is the biggest company in the world, and them using a term like donate makes it sound like you're taking your stuff and just giving it to Apple for free, which really is not the case. It's totally like, it's an ecosystem. It's meant to all work together. I wonder if that's where people have problems with it. I don't really necessarily care either way. I think it's kind of a, it serves its purpose, and that's probably what's important.
Yeah. Also, I did stop in the middle of my HomeKit explanation. Is just that when you run the HomeKit scene, it donates it to the system, and then that shows up as a suggested shortcut, mm-hmm. and then you can use that as basically like the standalone step in the shortcut. But they also don't have like parameters, or like you can't like select from your scenes. I hope this is one of the like an action that the HomeKit team is working on that you can do more stuff in. And also, I don't remember if that what they showed in the keynote, if there was something different, because some of that was slightly more than what we have right now.
Yeah, because I think it was like set thermostat or something, but it might have been just like a home scene or something. But yeah, I live in an apartment, and I'm not really supposed to make modifications, but I'm making modifications. So I'm kind of like in the middle of all that. So like I want to do like the come home. Like I live about 10 minutes away from my office, so it's just enough time to start the AC and start cooling down the apartment and things like that. So I have a bunch of like HomeKit ideas combined that I want to do, and then I have like a few Siri like what's one that I can think of without having to open up drafts and break my whole recording setup. Like I have some like Siri stuff. Like I want Siri to be able to read back my scripts whenever I write a script. I think you could probably somehow, oh, you could, yeah, do that right now because you could do speak text.
It'd be cooler to like just like press it and have it tell you as opposed to going in and triggering it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm excited for, I am hoping that HomePod has stuff, because that would be, that's like the stuff that I always wanted when I first heard of HomePod too, is like, you're like, I'm home, and it's like, all right. For, I mean, it could read the headlines, or it's like, here's your like favorite radio station and all the lights are on. And I hope this really like pushes the HomeKit device market too, of like, I want a lot more things hooked up to it. Also, preferably not insanely expensive, but also that seems to be the case. Yeah. That it's all, I wish it was one of those things where they lowered the price so that they could make it up in volume, and that they like trusted that people would buy it.
I so agree with that.
It's just too expensive right now,
yeah.
And they have to justify their costs. And it's like, I mean, it's all, it's very, it's like I said before, it's easy to say it's, oh, I just want this being connected to Siri, but that's a whole, a whole world there of hardware, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no magic wand that you can just use to make that work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the HomePod thing is kind of interesting. I would love to either see like a smaller device that's a little cheaper. Cause it's funny when, yeah. when AirPlay 2 came out, all the tech podcasters and stuff were like, yeah, one HomePod's great, but you really need two HomePods. I'm like, I don't have $700 to spend on speakers yeah. right now. like that's way too much. Plus I live in an apartment. I don't think my neighbors would appreciate how loud those things get.
Yeah. I just want another one up in my office now, like, and to have more just kind of coverage, because I like can't listen to my Sonos anymore. Sounds like it's audio coming out of a speaker from across the room instead of like HomePod, you're like, it's just around you. And so, I mean, it's, I also have it on like a small table, so that might be part of it. It's like a Play 5, way too much speaker for what I'm trying to do with it. But it's also, it's not one of the AirPlay ones. So it's like I either have to buy another Sonos to use my other Sonoses, or sell my Sonoses and get another HomePod. It's a tough choice. It's like, one, I would have like too many speakers. Yeah, it's like my girlfriend already is like, please stop buying speakers. Just like iPad stands. It's yeah. like, oh, God.
Yeah, I still am one of those persons that plays music through my iPhone just because I don't have any wireless speakers in my apartment. And I primarily listen to stuff on my AirPods anyway. So when I do play stuff through my yeah. speaker, I don't have the ear for it as of yet, because I haven't had any nice speakers to really compare it to. So it's almost like an ignorance is bliss kind of situation for me, where I just don't have to worry about that too much. And I listen to podcasts most of the time anyway. So
yeah, I kind of made my own makeshift HomePod. I have studio monitors, so like really high-end speakers, and then I have an Echo Dot plugged into them. And then what I'll do is I'll nice. Pair my iPad with the Echo Dot, so I can say the Siri trigger phrase, and then it'll use the Echo Dot as the Bluetooth deal. So my iPad can be anywhere in the house, but it'll just play through the studio speakers because that's what's plugged into the Echo Dot. So it's kind of wow, like
that's smart.
The makeshift redneck HomePod.
I wonder if you could have a shortcut that says the words Alexa play some, oh God, I might have just triggered mine, Alexa stop. But have Siri speak to her to connect to Bluetooth, and then it starts playing your music.
It's like
the shortcut turns on Bluetooth,
yeah,
speaks out loud this is totally excessive, but just because you can.
Yeah.
And then have it tell Alexa to connect to Bluetooth, which then, oh God, I'm still doing it again. Stop saying that. I love that about Siri. Even though saying hey is like kind of annoying sometimes, there's never a false trigger.
Right.
Which is exactly. Yeah.
Kind of driving me
well,
crazy.
There was that one that we recorded one episode where we were talking about Siri, and all of a sudden she just went off in the background and none of us said hey, her name.
Yeah. It happens occasionally. It's like something you happen to say. It's like language is hard to test, is like, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Because
they like had to go through like people speaking out loud and saying, are you serious? Like over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone speaks differently enough that, yeah, I imagine I would not want to be on that team. That sounds way too difficult, and I am not smart enough for that.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, we've talked a lot about shortcuts and workflow and things that you've worked on. I'd like to kind of dive deep into, you know, what your setup is like and things that you use regularly, you know, of the 700 and some odd shortcuts that you have and things like that, what kind of things that you use. But before we get into that, like, what devices do you find yourself working on the most currently with the work that you do, whether it's with your consulting company or writing? I mean, is there anything else that you're doing in between those two that you're doing pretty regularly right now?
Yeah, so I use a 10.5 iPad Pro. I think I only went to 256 on this one because it's actually a replacement, as a lot of my gear got stolen out of my car like 3 months
ago. Oh, no.
And so that was pretty brutal. I was pretty dumb about it. It's like, oh, all these bags will make it so convenient for this trip. It also makes it very convenient if you leave them in the middle seat and somebody breaks the window and takes them off. But yeah, it's pretty brutal, but I'm doing okay. It happens, and thankfully it was just stuff and not people.
Yeah.
That was kind of my perspective on it. But yeah, so I have the 10.5 iPad Pro. I had the 512 before, but I might sell this one if I was kind of waiting until WWDC after my stuff got stolen to be like, please new iPads, please new iPads. Mm-hmm. And then nothing came. And so I was kind of like, I like can't not have an iPad because of who I am and just being a workflow person. And also, like, I definitely prefer it. It's I love the, first of all, I have the smart keyboard. And so to me, that's like only what I've ever used. I don't care about other keyboards. It's fine. But like, it's, to me, this is a tablet and a computer, and so I want to be able to use both properly, and I don't like having a case or other things that like prevent me from taking it off and actually using my hands. Because one of the things that I found, turns out when you build probably over 1,000 workflows, if you do it up on a screen that's angled, it's not very good for your wrists.
Yeah.
And so I kind of struggled with that a little bit because I just like absentmindedly would build tons of workflows by pointing up at the screen instead of holding it in my hands. And so like, which is generally fine. I don't think it's like immediately going to cause people problems, but when you, it's like, even specifically, I built some that interacted with Apple Music and was just a huge list of links into like the radio stations. And
oh yeah.
Repetitive motion injury when you're grabbing the same action and putting it in the same spot and going back and forth was like pretty easy. But I also use the Apple Pencil. I do that for some navigation. I really like, but don't use enough, that one that lets you write in the keyboard. I think it's Nebo, My Script Stylus. I love that one because you can just hand write and it turns into text. So it's like a little bit odd because you're writing along a line that progresses, but you can also like go back, cross it out, refill it and stuff like that. And it can be slightly complicated sometimes, but I enjoy that just because it, when I don't want to type and I just kind of want to sit on the couch and write something without using the on-screen keyboard or dictating, I can kind of draw it out. And it's not just like scribbles on a page. It turns into actual letters. It's like a third-party keyboard.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Nebo set right now, and it looks really fascinating.
Yeah, I've tried that. Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's pretty interesting. So other than like workflow or shortcuts, do you have any like must-have apps that you use all the time that you would just be lost without?
I think especially if you're in the like deep Apple community or whatever, or you read sites like the Sweet Setup that I write for, it's probably a lot of similar apps. Like, I'm definitely a Things convert. Like, a lot of people, I think for me, it just was like, it's got such a good design.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of the fact that you can't get data out of it very well. That actually kind of kills me, that you can't share a project and have the links in the notes maintained. Like, because then I could shortcut for days against it. It's like extracting all that information, but right now it's slightly limited. But even still, it's just like such a good design, and it helps me just kind of keep my ideas separate. And I think a lot of people aren't fans of the high price, but if you can pay for something that actually helps you do more, like you should do that. You should, because otherwise you're missing out on, I mean, maybe things isn't necessarily the right choice for everyone, but I like that, especially now that I went independent and one of my goals is to just learn how to work for myself and make money myself, is if I can spend money that actually does help me do more, like that's absolutely worth it, because spinning my wheels is not good. Like I have, like there's, I could write endlessly about shortcuts, and having something get in my way to do that is like not what I want to do, because that's just kind of a waste. I use writing apps like Ulysses is one of my favorites. I'm currently using IA Writer for iMore because they have a specific naming structure for the file names, and Ulysses doesn't maintain file names. It just generates a string. And so I can't upload from iOS if I put my images into Ulysses, because then I have to rename them as I import my article. And it's kind of, that's just like a process thing that immediately hung me up. I was like, no, I like, because otherwise I can fly with some of this stuff. And then like getting into those weeds is like, nope, I need to find a different tool. And so IA Writer lets you insert images and insert a file name. And then it actually stores the files too. So I just like copy and paste to iMore's website and then upload the images, and then the file names are already in line. So that makes it, that made a huge difference, because I could use Workflow to like wrap the file name in HTML and do all that properly. Yeah. So that is a like great example of where Ulysses is also like still my preferred app, and I use it for all my other blog posts, but then I can kind of use Workflow and a different tool to kind of solve a specific purpose. But I love MindNode. I'm a huge fan of like the mind mapping application. I mean, it's definitely by far the best looking. I love the like quick entry thing where you can kind of just type out an outline and then turn it into a mind map. And just the physicality of dragging and dropping nodes on iOS is like why I love it, because I can sit there with my iPad and sort of like take complex subjects and figure out how to best organize it so that people can like learn it properly, and I'm not just vomiting a ton of information onto a page, because that's like my problem, is there's so much to say.
The thing with mind mapping and stuff like that has been something that I can't wrap my mind around. Maybe I just need to do it more often, because there have been times where I have these big ideas and I know that I need to break them up in some capacity. And, the way that I've been doing it is just like bullet lists and drafts, and that's how it's been working for me. But, more and more I keep hearing people talking about using a mind mapping tool for those kind of things. I mean, can you kind of talk a little bit more about, you know, how mind mapping kind of works for you as opposed to, you know, like bulleted lists or some other form of, outlining?
I mean, I think those can both work together. So the way I would probably do it is start, I do use drafts. I write almost everything initially in there, unless I just happen to like tap into the app beforehand.
Right.
But you could write your outline in drafts, and then I think MindNode might even just let you paste it and it'll just turn into a mind map. Like it'll take those bullets and have each of those be individual nodes. And if you have sub bullets, those will be sub nodes or whatever for it. But there, I like quickly mentioned, they have a thing called quick entry. That's just, you like make an outline, hit enter, and then it flips it into a mind map too. So that'd be a very similar process, but then you kind of can take that from there and just like, you're like this concept. What I start doing is just start writing more, like kind of start writing more of the outline or points that I want to make. And then that turns into subnodes. And if I start realizing that one thing is too large, or maybe that doesn't fit, you can just touch it and move it to a different section instead of like cutting and pasting and going back in your outline and stuff like that. So it's really a visual outline at a certain point. And you can even like share it and it'll turn back into an outline for you once you're done. So it's kind of like a way to make your text or your content physically malleable while you're doing it. Like almost the way drafts lets you like rearrange lines.
Yeah.
But it's just a much more I mean, it's like word clouds turned into like fancy technology versions of it. And it also, it could just not be right for you. Like maybe you are just a text type of person and you don't need the physical version. But I think a difference too was using it on my phone or my iPad versus the computer where like, which is still great on the computer, like doing, you can still do all the same stuff, but just like clicking and dragging nodes, it actually might be more efficient in some ways, but at the same time, you can, it just like you're looking at a computer and touching a trackpad or a mouse, not moving the stuff together. And like sometimes I even write like almost a full article in MindNode just because I'm already going, and like really like paragraphs are just nodes. And then I can like, I, one of the problems that I have with writing about this stuff is that there's just so much and I just kind of write it. And then it's like, oh, telling somebody this right at the beginning is like way confusing. And I can just kind of like drag it around and sort of figure out, like I can get my content out there and then figure out the order of it instead of like starting at the top and being like, well, what's my point? Like, and just sort of sitting at a blank page, you can kind of put all the pieces together, organize it, and then move it into some sort of text tool and then kind of make it into an actual piece.
Yeah. I think I need to at least try it one more time, because I think that your analogy with the arrange mode in drafts and being able to kind of like move things with your hands is appealing to me. And maybe it was just a sense of me being afraid of trying new things or something like that, but I think I need to pull the trigger and see what I can do to make that work. Whether it's like writing an outline, then importing it in, or working on the nodes and doing something in Mind Map and then export it out, or you know, whatever. I think I need to play around with that a little more, because I mean, while outlining like with words has worked for me, it hasn't been working for me lately. I think I need to switch something up to see if I can get my creative juices flowing again and doing something more efficient.
I think that definitely makes sense. And that's one of the reasons I love like having an iPad and a Mac. I mean, Phil Schiller always talks about the use the right device for the right job.
Yeah.
But then there's also like, sometimes you just want to like change things up, but do the same stuff in a different way. And it's like getting away from my desk and just like kind of dragging the nodes and then going back and using it is like a super useful tool. And I don't usually like keep mind maps of visual information that I reference a lot. Like I'm usually doing something with it afterwards. Only a few places I've kept. I think I actually outlined the entire workflow gallery in MindNode,
because
I just kind of went through all the category, because it's like just categories with 10 actions with descriptions for each. And I just like was like, how do I take all of this information and show it in a way that is like useful to people? And so we also like made a bunch of sticky notes of ideas. And then I like physically organized the sticky notes and then turned those into nodes in MindNode, and then sort of compared what we had against the old gallery and like just dragged it around in there. So I'd say that's a pretty shining example of where it could be useful.
Yeah, for sure.
Making like complex information. Also, one app I want to just, I love this app, and I wish I knew the developer of it. I think he's Chinese. I'm not totally sure. It's called Stitch Picks, and it's just there's another app called Taylor that does a similar thing, but it lets you combine images in longer images in a row. And so I'm using this to take like full screenshots of my shortcuts, because you can just take multiple and then add it in here, and it'll kind of do some intelligent auto stitching. But then what you can do is like pinch from the top and bottom image together and kind of like collapse it onto itself so that any overlapping areas you can just hide. And so I've actually used that. It's awesome. I mean, Twitter compresses the photos, which kind of sucks, but you can make just screenshots that demonstrate how the whole things work. And then I've even like made fake images in it by just pinching. Like I wanted to make a list of all the Apple actions, and I just pinch and hid the ones that weren't relevant. And I was like, this is awesome. Huh. Like, this would take me a ton of time. But it's like, it also only works in portrait mode on the iPad.
Oh, wow.
It's like very, it's basically just like a shell that does stuff. But also, like, being a workflow guy, that's pretty much what I do already. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, honestly, the utility that I get out of it is I'm willing to take my iPad off and do it vertically real quick. It's also like physically the way it works, it makes sense on a portrait mode screen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Liquid Text.
Yes.
But that lets you, that's awesome. It's like it lets you pinch PDFs and hide the irrelevant information. It's that same thing, but with screenshots, and then you just save the photo.
Interesting. I think I found it. It's by a person named either Mai or Mei Li. I think that might be the one.
Yeah, I think that's it's got an L as the photo. That's the one. I have no idea why. Maybe that's means something else.
It might just be the last name of the person. We'll have a link in the show notes for it. Because I've been using Taylor, and it's worked out for me for the most part. There have been some instances where it just doesn't stitch correctly, but I think it has to do with how the UI kit or the UI of an app is. Like
workflow specifically is really bad for it because all of the actions besides the icon look exactly the same. And so if you have, it'll just like fail if you're doing like a 10 screenshot thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's a good example of when it doesn't work.
It's like it's working properly. It's trying to identify the same elements and combine them. It just doesn't know that workflow is like a little scriptable tool or anything like that.
This is one question that I came to you before you even started recording or even talking about doing a podcast together on this of like, because I noticed that you've been writing more for the suite setup and I'm more in a few other places here and there. And I was always curious as to how one can get to that point. And I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering that themselves. Not in like a negative way or anything like that, but like, how can I get to the point where you're at? When it comes to being a regular writer or a columnist, about something that they're very knowledgeable in and being able to be on platforms like iMore and the suite setup and things like that. Like, do you have any advice on that that you want to kind of elaborate on? If not, we don't have to go into it or not, but
yeah, I have some. It's a little bit hard because the foundation of what it was I worked at an app that got bought by Apple.
Right.
so if that happens, good luck. You could probably do it. but otherwise, I'd say I think what's hard is I am basically like one of the only experts in it. And so there's not other people that know this information. And so I am kind of like exclusively the one that can do it for them. Because for both of those sites, I don't think they know. And so they need me to do it because. And so if there is somebody who already knows some of that or is better, it's kind of just like we already have someone doing that. It's hard. It's like most people, I think their advice is that like to specialize in something and then you're kind of more of an authority on that compared to just kind of being generic about it. I think it also is really hard and takes a long time. I think the workflow thing gave me a big leg up for sure. But I think I've also tried to demonstrate online for years that I'm someone who thinks about this stuff in more than just like a reactionary way. Cause I mean, I've always just been passionate about it. And then I also understand just kind of the human ways you can react to some of this news. Or just like the community that we're in, or just being online and not in person. And I think like having a lot of sympathy for people who might not understand what you're talking about. Like there's a lot of like when you're in the Apple community, it seems like everybody knows this stuff, but then it's like my friends are like, have no idea that the MacBooks are like running hot. Like they don't care
at all
in any capacity and would never like even reach the radar. Like my friend was like, he reads like IGN every day, and like I didn't even know that that was still a website, really. Like I thought it to me, like, I hate to like be hotty toddy or something, but it's like feels irrelevant. But at the same time, like, people just aren't into Apple stuff, and so a lot of what I'm doing, I mean, it's sort of hard because both of those websites by nature are Apple people oriented, but at the same time, I try to like not make assumptions that somebody is either smart or dumb. Like, I don't think that's true. I think people just don't know about this stuff. And so that's kind of what's unique to my writing situation, is that it is still like relatively unknown how it works. And that's not true of like a lot of other subjects, is there's a lot of people talking about this stuff in similar ways. And so I think that's kind of a challenge, is like finding a unique voice.
Yeah.
In a way that like people find it worth listening to. And like, even like to a certain degree, like having, for me, having Workflow was kind of like a stamp of like, this person is somebody as opposed to nobody. Like, I totally felt before that, that I was like not relevant, or like, not that I didn't necessarily have ideas, but there just wasn't a reason for somebody to listen to me as opposed to anyone else. And so I think that's, I mean, that's just like a psychology thing too, but at the same time, sometimes it is true, is like, unfortunately, there are many people out there who have opinions about Apple, and they like learn through other people. And so I think at a certain point, it's kind of like identifying where you disagree with people and where you do have a different opinion, or like, you know, you like don't see it the same way, and can eloquently talk about that while also like being fair to other people's opinions about the stuff.
Yeah. No, I
sorry if that definitely was understand. Complicated. But.
Well, I think it raises a good point where, and, you know, while you might be fortunate enough to get that leg up because you worked for an app that got bought by Apple, you know, it still doesn't automatically get you in a seat or someone to have a platform that, you know, tons of people read that are part of that world. And I think that you've proved yourself well in your capability of writing and giving information that isn't condescending, that isn't too technical for someone not to understand. And I think that's why you were able to kind of capitalize on that opportunity, if I might speak in that regard. But like, I think that worked out really well, and I'm happy that, you know, that you were able to go independent and do these things, because you've helped me personally in more ways than one, whether it's learning how to do shortcuts or kind of, you know, by proxy, kind of learning how I can improve my style of writing for Tablet Habit and doing things like that. And I like to think that I've gotten better in the year that I've been doing it, but you know, I think that there's place to go. So, I mean, this question wasn't hypothetical by any means. It was definitely a question of like, you know, where can, you know, how can someone like myself improve and things like that. And I think that has helped me out a lot.
I think one thing too is I totally don't feel that I've done nearly as much as I have wanted to in the past, or like still want to. Is I personally feel like I think I've only published like maybe 15 articles in the last 6 months, which is like not a whole lot. And I'm also like not necessarily like really good at the process yet of taking that. Like, a lot of stuff does take me a long time to write because it's hard. Or, I mean, there's also very just human problems with doing any type of writing work. Like, I just don't feel like doing it right now, and so I don't want to. And, or like, I think one thing that actually makes a huge difference comes back on itself, but like using tools like shortcuts and like figuring out how to use iOS better helps me a lot, because then I can just write and then use a workflow that does all of the image tags around it, and I don't have to like change gears as much, or like setting up a template in Pixelmator and doing things on my iPad real quick, as opposed to like collecting it all and photoshopping it later. Would be like, that makes a huge difference. And
oh, for sure. Matthew, thank you very much for being on and doing this. And we went a little bit longer than we anticipated, but it's been a ton of fun to have you on. And if people want to learn more about you or read some of the stuff that you've written, where can they find you online?
So my main site right now is MatthewCastanelli.com. But I'm also writing for iMore and The Sweet Setup. I do have a consulting business for app developers, so I'm basically trying to help people learn how to improve their marketing a little bit better and possibly integrate shortcuts if that's something you're doing. So that's CastanelliConsulting.com. But the biggest thing that I'm super excited about, and I'm actually not going to tell you the name because I'm just trying to tease as much as possible, but I'm starting a new podcast with Alex Cox coming up.
What?
Here soon.
Oh, cool.
So we're talking about technology and kind of how we use it. And there's going to be a lot of shortcuts talk too, I'm assuming, at least definitely near the beginning, but we're kind of trying to make it a fun, like approachable show for people to learn about how to use technology and also just be silly. So I'm super excited. And also, like, thank you for having me on. Like, first of all, I totally don't mind at all telling you, like, dropping that there with you guys, because I've been enjoying your show so far.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you.
I enjoy the YouTube channel too. I'm looking to see that keep growing and stuff like that
too.
Thank
you.
I'm happy to help out with shortcuts and things like that if you guys need it. Like, in general, anybody listening, like, I don't necessarily have free time, but like, this is what I like doing, and a lot of stuff I could probably figure out really quickly or help you, especially if you have an idea that you've already started on. And it does help me if people communicate clearly to me what they're trying to do, because it is complicated. But at the same time, like, I'm totally down to help. This stuff is fun, and I'm learning from you guys too. So feel free to share with me. I'm Matt Castanelli on Twitter. Also, just to spell my last name, it's CastanelliI, if anyone's wondering, because it is complicated. I get a lot of Castellinis.
Yeah, we'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes too, if they can find you and everything else. So if you don't want to possibly spell things incorrectly, you can just click on the link there. Speaking of your YouTube channel, Chris, where can people find you at?
You can find all the links to my YouTube channel, podcast, which is this podcast, writing, all that stuff at theuntitledsite.com. I'm on Twitter at Chris_Lawley, and it's L-A-W-L-E-Y. Jeff, what about you?
I'm over at tablethabit.com, and you can find me on Twitter at I am Jeff Perry. Matthew, thank you again for being on. And I think there's a lot more that we can talk about as shortcuts continue to grow and as you continue to do more things and everything else. So we'd love to, have you on here in the near future, throughout the time, and we'll make some time to do that if you're up for it.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you giving me the chance to spew this all out at you guys, and there's definitely more. It's like I'm so deep in this world, and so I just want to share with as many people as I can. So I'm definitely
awesome. Down. Cool.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And to everybody else, we will talk to you next time.